Professor Stephen Hanlon, founder of Community Services Team, Holland and Knight, and also adjunct professor of law at Georgetown University. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I have been practicing law for 47 years, and I'm a graduate of the University of Missouri Law School. The last 20 years of my practice, I have primarily concentrated my efforts in prison litigation, primarily in the South, and in representing public defenders with excessive caseloads, which is how I wound up back in the state of Missouri here, because I lead counsel for the Missouri public defender in the Waters case. And during that period of time, I've had the opportunity to work with really fine experts in these fields. And particularly today, what I'd like to talk with you about is the problem of over-incarceration and its relationship to the public defender caseload. I've submitted to you a paper by Dr. James Austin, who's a great corrections expert that I've worked with for 10 years in Mississippi with some really remarkable reform. The best thing I can tell you about Dr. Austin is that he was a former corrections officer, so he knows what the real world of prisons are like. We have the same crime rate today as we had in 1969, but our incarceration rate is five times what it was in 1969. Probation is up 282% since 1980, and parole is up 276% since 1980. And so there's been a large public discussion of the relative cost versus the benefit of the tool of prison, particularly on these lower level nonviolent misdemeanors, which do not involve public safety issues. And the question of whether or not prison is the best way, or the threat of prison is the best way to change that behavior, because the state has a perfectly legitimate interest in employing mechanisms that change those behaviors. I'd like you, if you get a chance, to read particularly pages 22 and 23 of Dr. Austin's report. That report is being used in a lot of states today. And he suggests that states, and he's working in states right now. Right now his main work is in Kentucky. He's done great work in Mississippi and elsewhere. That states seriously consider diverting technical probation violations. That's 70% of the admissions into your prison system here in Missouri, and that's about average. Nothing particularly unusual about that. And that you seriously consider diverting low-risk, nonviolent misdemeanors out of the criminal justice system, out of the prison system, and find other mechanisms, fines, there's a whole list of things you can do other than say, the remedy here is that we spend $23,000 a year to feed, clothe, house, medical, and mental health for you. So I think there's a large public discussion going on right now of the relative benefits of incarceration, particularly in these lower level crimes. We'd be glad to submit to you a list, frankly, of these misdemeanors which do not involve public safety and which are appropriate candidates. I mean, they range from disorderly conduct to drunkenness to curfew to vagrancy, et cetera. That takes a big toll on the public defender system. If you want prison as the mechanism to modify that social behavior, then you got to lawyer up. Okay? And we got to have a public defender, and we got to have a prosecutor. And we got a lot of other serious crime that those people need to be involved in. So we'd like you to consider seriously in this criminal code effort that potential. Because if you can move a lot of those low-level misdemeanors out of the system, you're going to dramatically lower the cost of both the public defender and the prosecutor, and to the extent that the prison system involved that system. My favorite in Missouri is the crime of fishing with illegal bait, where we could not get prison off the table. Okay, I think they're probably, and wouldn't it be better to have them go out for 6 weekends and help the ranger out there make sure that people fish with, don't fish with artificial bait there, fish with just worms and that, you know. I just can't imagine that we have to have prison on the table to deal with that violation. Last spring, you all had hearings in the House, I believe. I'm not sure. You may have had hearings in the Senate, too, but I know we helped you with hearings in the House. And I know this may sound strange, but we did do this. The other thing I do for the last 7 years, I've been the chair of the Constitution Project, which is an organization in Washington, D.C. We think we're the only show in Washington, D.C. on this. We bring liberals and conservatives together, and Republicans and Democrats, and we get them to agree on tough issues like this, on consensus solutions, and then we advocate for them. So we brought down to Missouri in the House, I think. I wasn't here. I just helped kind of assemble it. We got the American Civil Liberties Union and Right on Crime, which is a great conservative organization headquartered down in Austin, Texas, by the Texas Policy Institute, to come together and testify there. And my understanding is that testimony was fairly impressive. When you get the American Civil Liberties Union and a conservative organization like Right on Crime to get together and say, this is some reform that we think will help you save money and operate more effectively, that's impressive. So if they can get together, why, maybe you all could get together on some of these issues. Texas has saved $2 billion by reforms to its system. Mississippi, South Dakota, Indiana, all have made, and others have made, serious reform in this area, where we're talking about enormous public savings and far more effective remedies at discouraging behavior that the state has an absolutely legitimate right and interest in changing and modifying. Dr. Austin concludes in his paper that where are now available to us, and he documents them, a large series of evidence-based reforms that are effective in reducing prison populations without adversely affecting crime rates or recidivism rates. And, of course, I would add to that that significant savings to the public defender systems and to the prosecution systems.